don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Hired a firm. We went through a branding exercise to think about how could we honor this site. It was not about just slapping a name on it. There was a lot of thought and dialogue that went on in coming up with the name of Outlying Fields. We want to pay homage to OLF 8. There's many of you that think we'll always refer to this site as OLF 8, and we want to keep that. So we took the 8 and we turned it on the side as infinity, and making sure that we can kind of carry that forward in perpetuity.
I kind of love the name. This is Chad Henderson, the group that's in the process of doing their due diligence on the contract to purchase OLF 8 and then develop it according to, well, not quite the master plan that was developed by DPZ, but not quite abandoning the master plan. The longstanding belief has been that the master plan will get in the way to some degree, but trying to honor the interests and concerns of the people that formed that master plan so many years ago, the balancing act between what the county wants and what the residents want and, you know, all of that. Okay. So I like the Outlying Fields concept. I like that as a name. It's very similar. And then turning the 8 for, you know, on its side for infinity, it's kind of a cute thing. So what will the new plan be? Well, there are 5 zones. Okay. And the 5 zones are, you know, it's kind of interesting to look at the map layout of all of this. But basically, you've got the 5 zones. There's a community center right in the middle. There's to the bottom left of the community center, there's they call it the town center. Then there's the community center bottom left, which is the low-lying wetlands area where the water flows toward that. They're going to make a lake there. The northwest, or if southeast, doesn't matter where you go, but northwest is residential. That's a little bit of a change from the previous master plan, but that puts the residential all the way in the back end of the property off of Frank Reeder, which means that it would primarily, I would think you'd get there by going off of Frank Reeder, which means kind of going around instead of going through 9 Mile, which you could. I mean, you still could. That's a pretty big main boulevard. Southeast is the commercial, retail, all of that kind of stuff. And then the northeast is where you have the job creation, the stuff in the northeast. And I'll tell you, I look at the picture. The picture looks nice. Listening to Chad Henderson talk about their plan. By the way, the drinking game word for this stuff that he did on Friday or Thursday at the Steven Schoberger Town Hall in Beulah, the drinking word is intentional. So if you had to drink every time Chad Henderson said intentional, man, you would have been gone within the first 5 or 6 minutes.
Certainly one of those stakeholder buckets is made up of yourselves, of the community. And you guys have done such a fantastic job of organizing, sharing a voice and sharing the mindset and just the particulars of what you would like to see here, what you would not like to see here. And certainly this notion of creating, you know, the beating heart of Beulah, right? You know, they're a place where you know, we can spend time with families and friends and create memories, having human capital exchange and moments. And that's certainly a part of what we're trying to do with the project.
Yeah, creating a place that recognizes the desires of the community to have a place to go to, kind of a downtown before there's a town of Beulah, to have that sort of a feel. And not just for the people who live on the property, but for anybody who wants to come there.
Stakeholder bucket is the job creation element. Is the economic development community that believes that we need more sites to create the right jobs that we're after. So certainly that is a stakeholder group that we're trying to serve.
Yeah, and one of the concerns that had been raised is if you're building the town center and the commercial area and the residential, and obviously the drainage and the lake is all going to be sort of the beginning. Well, the northeast corner where you're going to have the job sites, doesn't that stuff take a while? you know, these projects don't come tomorrow. They come over the next couple of years. And what if you build all of this other stuff and then you basically have to run construction traffic either through the site or around the site down the back on Frank Reeder Road? Don't you create some problems? And I don't know that he exactly answered that, but they're certainly thinking about this with great intentionality. Sorry. I don't know that it's in my clips that I picked, but it was a lot that he used that word. It's a good word. And Chad, I mean, seems like a very capable guy. It just, you know, it's kind of funny. Sometimes your brain gets stuck on a certain way of explaining something and then you can't get away from it. The more you think about it, the more you do it.
Finally, the county themselves, so that they made an investment when they did a land swap and invested in some CapEx projects for the Navy. They have a basis. And when they did that, that became a fiduciary or an investor on behalf of the citizens. And certainly need to be a steward of that and make sure there is an ROI in the right way on that investment. So somewhere in the middle there is where we're trying to land.
Yeah, the three basic interests they're trying to accomplish is what the community wants, what the economic development community, the ED community wants, and then what the county wants. And the county has kind of wanted both, but, you know, making money on it. We want to make property taxes. We want to recoup our investment to the degree that might be possible and, you know, keeping all of those things in mind. And so his basic, the longstanding question has been, to what degree will somebody come and tinker with or abandon the master plan created by DPZ?
We all know that there was a plan in place with DPZ. And I said in the pursuit of this is that we were trying to stay within the spirit of the DPZ plan. I realize that maybe the spirit of the DPZ plan means a lot of different things probably to a lot of different people.
And part of the problem is that when you say the spirit of the thing, the people who work so hard to craft that feel like, well, that's just a nice way of saying you're going to abandon it or get rid of the parts that we fought so hard for, particularly the community that fought for their parts or their slice of the master plan as opposed to the economic development or the county slice with the, you know, job creation and investment slice.
So we're doing our best to stay within that chassis and the spirit of the DPZ plan, but also recognize that there were things in the DPZ plan that made it very difficult to execute and to finance.
All right. So I listened to this whole presentation. I looked through the things that they've got on social media and I, you know, kind of gave it a glance. And I will tell you, I do not pretend to have been an expert even on the old DPZ approach, but to me, a lot of this looks very appealing. There was little things and big things that he both said and showed that I found affirming. I found, you know, encouraging about this. And, you know, it's not going to be everything everybody wants. Nothing could be. But does it look like it's going to be a project that develops the property well, satisfies basically the vast majority of the interests, and does something that will be in the end really cool and not just a whole bunch of cheap houses, which had been the concern for some time? And I think the answer is yes. I mean, I'm pretty optimistic about this, especially because, for example, when they were talking about that town center part, the idea was not just to make space available and then whoever rents it, but to really think about what things make a well-planned out downtownish kind of area. And then developing at least the first level of shops and retail to be built around that, or, you know, what's of interest to people. You know, there's a part of me as a conservative that gets the heebie-jeebies when we talk about central planning, but there's also a part of me that thinks, you know what, thinking about a project like this and make sure that it comes out well instead of having, you know, three car washes and four coffee shops or whatever, like, you know, it's nice that somebody's thinking about, well, what would really a complete town center look like? So I'm optimistic at this point. Timeline, I mean, you know, they've got, as David has been reporting, they've got a little while before September 2026 is when they actually are supposed to close at the most extended point. So we'll see. It's going to be a long process from here to there, but it was a very good sort of initial look based on the first 6 months of due diligence they've been doing. PJ's got traffic for us now. PJ?
Traffic's brought to you by Florida West EDA. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base. I-10 and 110 are both looking good. The front gate of NAS Pensacola backed up to Central Avenue. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Thanks so much, PJ. Yeah, it's kind of Florida West, very involved, of course, in the whole conversation around outlying fields. It's going to be a bit of a retrain for me to call it that instead of OLF 8. So, but, you know, that literally is a property that has a new name because of what they're developing there. Maybe I should wait to call it Outlying Fields until after they buy it. I don't know. Either way, it's Outlying Field 8. Frontier Motors, if you need that next vehicle, they've got a great selection of good quality used cars. And one of the things that they do is they really only buy to sell. I mean, they'll, you know, if you got an old car to get rid of, they'll buy it and they'll just probably sell it off to somebody else. But they don't sell it in-house, like, to you unless it's an A-quality car with only a couple of years and only a few tens of thousands of miles on it, like 10 to 40, 1 to 4 years. That's kind of their sweet spot. Everything they sell comes with a warranty to 100,000 miles or 10 years included. You don't pay extra for that. It's because they stand by their cars. They believe in their cars. They only acquire good cars for you to drive. And the idea is if you just don't want to buy a brand new car, but you want one that's almost new, one that you can then drive for several years or, you know, well past the warranty, if you drive them like we do them until the wheels fall off or Dave Ramsey recommends, that's what they're there for. And then when you get ready to get that next one, you come back to them again. So if you're the kind of person that likes to, you know, get a not quite new every couple of years and trade it in, that's fine. If you're the kind of person like me that likes to buy a, you know, not quite new and then drive it for 15 years until it has 200,000 or 300,000 miles on it, they're also for you. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Ladies, join us to be the impact in 2026. I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola, a women's organization that has given over $18 million to nonprofits right here. Meet other members and hear about the impact our funding has made at meet and mingle sessions through mid-February. Women 18 and older are invited to join us by March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org. That's impact100pensacola.org.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You don't need another money hack.
You need a plan.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, what if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today.
If I can hold tonight.
Good morning, 6:21 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Well, I am doing well. I'm sorry. I was monitoring
were
this.
Were you watching the festivities? These guys can dance, man.
These guys can.
They are having a fine old time. Turn me up just a little bit, PJ. They are. I didn't know the top hat guys could dance that way, you know? So they're moving, they're
look
shaking.
Like they're having a good time in Punxsutawney.
Introduce the members. Oh, and then we got. Our
current inner circle. Yeah, I think they're introducing
they're going
their top hat
Patrick
people.
Patrick Osico, it's Ozone.
Yeah, I love when they go through all
Game
the frat Baker names.
Rainmaker.
Cracks me up. Rainmaker and Ozone and. You know, we're part of the long coat crowd. So, all right, David, what do you got for me for news, sir?
Well, Pakistani security forces say they've killed 145 militants after a nearly two-day battle in the country's southwest. The fighting there broke out in the Balochistan province following coordinated gun and bomb attacks over the weekend that left about 50 people dead. And the Baloch Liberation Army claimed responsibility for that. Authorities say 17 members of law enforcement and 31 civilians were among those killed. Immigration and Customs Enforcement arrested about 650 undocumented immigrants during a two-week operation in West Virginia. ICE says that sweep ran January 5th through the 19th and focused on several cities there, including Charleston, Martinsburg, and Huntington. And Iran's supreme leader is warning any U.S. military strike would spark a regional war. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei making those comments as American warships remain in the Arabian Sea. President Trump has warned of possible military action if protesters are killed or mass executions occur.
All right, very good. David, thanks so much for the update. 6:23 here on News Radio 92.3. We'll keep keep one eye on Punxsutawney Phil to see when they start engaging in all the real festivities, the reading of the scroll, the tapping of the stump, the grabbing of the little furry rodent, and then asking him what he thinks. President Trump, it just cracks me up. He says that the radical left lunatics, insurrectionists, agitators, and thugs, did you run out of synonyms? Are going after Kristi Noem, the Secretary of Homeland Security, because she is a woman. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So if a woman is somebody you disagree with, then you say she's a DEI hire, and a woman you agree with gets criticized, then they're being sexist. This is the kind of thing that the left pulls. You know, you were against Obama because you were a racist. There's no evidence that anybody is being critical of Kristi Noem because she's a woman. It's stupid. Anyway, on the other side, there's been a rendering released. The Harrison design is what is being called, of the Arc de Trump. You know, because the Arc de Triomphe in Paris. I love this thing. I'll be honest. You know me. There are some things about Trump that I love, some things I can't stand. I love the idea of building an arch. I don't believe that, you know, what he's doing with the Kennedy Center is a good idea. I think that what he's done with the East Wing is really problematic. We'll see what we get in the end. But the Trump, the arc, or the arch, if you want to call it that, on the west side of that bridge across from the memorials, like the Lincoln, across the bridge into Virginia. I love this idea. That area was built for it. And seems perfect to me. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ledger, federal judge on Friday blocked federal agencies, from requesting citizenship status when distributing voter registration forms. Trump had tried to impose that and say that we're going to make sure that you're a citizen before we give you a form. And basically, the district judge said, yeah, that's just not up to you. The president doesn't have this authority. At best, it's Congress, but more appropriately, it's with the states. And so you do not have the ability to make these rules, which is right. It's not that I want non-citizens voting, but we believe in rules in addition to everything else. All right. Hey, Phil is up. Let's take a listen here. What's going on? This is the most violated I think Phil feels all year long is when they hold him up in the air like a cheerleader at a football game. Look at me! Woo-hoo-hoo! All right, we'll come back to this in a minute when it's appropriate to do so, but the crowd is cheering. Would you go to this, PJ?
I would.
I would, too.
Because of the movie.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
To see if you
can. I want to see if it actually looks like that.
Relive all the things. Yeah. I don't think that it's much like that. But I would go to. I would never go to Times Square, but I would go to this. All right. They're listening in very intently. We cannot hear what they're doing because they're not talking. They're inquiring of Phil. Does he see? Does he not see?
We have a scroll.
Oh, the scroll. I forgot about the scroll. The scroll takes a long time to read. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
All right, taking a look at the big board. I-10 and 110 are both looking good. The front gate of NS Pensacola backed up to Central Avenue. Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right, PJ, thanks so much for the update. YouTube is being a little wonky on me here. I'm not quite sure why. It's not letting me go to where I need to go. Okay, so YouTube has decided to fail. YouTube is always the best, and I like to brag about how YouTube does such a good job, and in this particular moment, they have completely abandoned me. I think
everybody
because
wants to know.
Everybody is watching the stream. Yeah. All right. It's so weird. It usually does such a good job. All right. Let me see if I can get there. Okay. The reading of the scroll. Here we go. I think I got it. All right.
America turns 250, and I'm at least 139. Let's celebrate all, young, old, babies, or millennial, and kick off America's semi-quincentennial. We look to the future and not just the past, so I suppose this party could use a forecast. It is my job this February 2 to look to the skies and report back to you that there is a shadow here on my ground. 6 more weeks of winter abound.
Well, I think we already knew this in Pensacola, so no surprise. By the way, I think Phil's asleep. It looks like he's he's not going to make it through the whole ceremony. I don't know if they looked him up or he just had a late night or he got so scared by seeing his shadow. But there you go. The official science answer to every weather question you had. David, you're shaking your head like you...
No, it's AJ's going
to... Look, we got to drive to Punxsutawney. We got to get that rat.
Yeah, I think it's time for the squirrel. It's time, upgrade the squirrel.
Look, all is not lost yet. Let's see what Kenya the giraffe over at the Gulf Breeze Zoo has to say.
Yeah, we got the giraffe. We got the swan. We got the iguana. We got, you know, everybody's now trying their hand at this game. It's like who's using the octopus to predict the Super Bowl winners, like all of that stuff, which is not science, unlike Phil. Time-tested, honored, research-based.
Phil does have a storied history behind him. I will say, though, it looks like the people in at Gobbler's Knob really do know how to throw a good Groundhog Day party. Yeah, so
and kudos to them for doing it outdoors in the cold. Oh, what was the story? This is unrelated to Groundhog Day. I heard the top of the hour news at 5 o'clock said that they played a hockey game outside in Jacksonville over the weekend.
Yeah, that's
at the football game, at the football field.
That was on Fox News, yeah.
I mean, what a great idea. I assume they brought in some kind of a temporary rink to play outside. But, I mean, it's not like elsewhere in the world they play hockey outside for NHL. So it's not like, you know, when you go to Minnesota, they play outside.
Just had to skate around all the fallen iguanas.
Now, don't email me your hate mail, but you know how we have Chuck-a-Puck?
Right.
I'm trying to think of a rhyme for iguana. I can't think of one. But Chuck and Iguana. Okay, maybe not. All right. David, thanks so much for all of the participation. I appreciate it. 6:29 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is just a small note. I was reading an article in Futurism over the weekend. And you know what the Dunning-Kruger effect is? That's the idea that the less you know, the more certain you are that you're a genius. That the loudest, most obnoxious, most confident, contemptuous people everywhere, including particularly on Facebook, because it rewards them by promoting them in the algorithm, because, you know, rage and hate, that's gets promoted. Anyway, those people are usually the ones who know the least. The people who really know a lot are the ones who are pretty nuanced in their answers or whatever. Well, AI, the chatbots, are very good at sycophantic answers, like reinforcing your ego and telling you what you want to believe and giving you answers. That's why they make so many mistakes, is they kind of tell you what you want to hear. So the theory here is that AI chatbots actually make you more the Dunning-Kruger effect because you hang out with them and ask you questions and they make you feel smart, and then you have this false confidence in your ignorance.
News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. It is day 3 of a partial government shutdown, but House Speaker Mike Johnson says it could end by tomorrow, even despite Democrat demands for ICE reform. Fox's Jill Nato.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries on ABC's This Week.
Body cameras should be mandatory. Masks should come off.
Speaker Mike Johnson tells Fox News Sunday there may be enough votes among Republicans to pass it on Tuesday without the Democrats.
But the Republican majority in the House is shrinking.
And today the House is set to swear in Democratic Texas Representative Christian Menefee, which means Republicans can only lose one vote.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, Bad Bunny, makes Grammy Award history, winning Album of the Year for the first album sung entirely in Spanish, saying this in a speech on CBS.
I'm going to say eyes out.
Olivia Dean won Best New Artist. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got a bit of a cold start to our day. It is 23 degrees right now in Pensacola, and we've got our full forecast here, and that's coming up in just a few minutes. Of course, if you missed it, Punxsutawney Phil has predicted 6 more weeks of winter. We'll have more with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Escambia County is pushing for a new state law that would make it easier to remove derelict boats. Now, this comes as the county is dealing with abandoned vessels in Bayou Chico, with as many as a dozen of those having to be removed every year. Officials say it can cost upwards of $10,000 to remove one average-sized vessel. The proposed law would let local code enforcement help Fish and Wildlife investigations and initiate those civil proceedings to address problem vessels. County staff say boats could be removed before they sink, which would ultimately save taxpayers money. One person has died after a crash in Pensacola on Friday. Police say a vehicle crossed the center line on Scenic Highway at Rothschild Drive and hit another car around 6 p.m. The driver of the second vehicle died at the scene. Passengers in the car and the at-fault driver were taken to the hospital. The reason that the first vehicle crossed into oncoming traffic remains under investigation. Now, the developer behind the Outlying Fields project in Beulah says the plan tries to balance three different stakeholder groups. Chad Henderson of Catalyst Healthcare Real Estate says the project must serve the community, support job creation, and provide a return on Escambia County's investment in the land swap.
We're in the middle there is where we're trying to land. And it is our goal for one plus one to equal three in this scenario. We want everybody to win as much as possible with those three stakeholder goals in mind.
The plan does include a walkable town center, Henderson calls the beating heart of Beulah, a job creation district targeting aerospace and technology companies, and higher density residential to make the project financially viable. The developer has put $150,000 in earnest money into the project so far and is working through rezoning and future land use changes with the county. Well, driver's license testing in Florida will be administered now only in English starting on February 6th. The Department of Highway Safety says that change will apply to all classifications, including oral exams. Tests are currently offered in English, Spanish, and Haitian Creole. Language translation services will not be allowed. Florida's Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson is asking the federal government for help. He's requested a disaster declaration from the USDA due to potential crop damage from the cold snap here this weekend. Simpson says sub-freezing temps could reach as far south as Collier and Broward counties, threatening everything from strawberries to citrus across the state. He said the state's farmers are doing what they can to protect their crops, but losses are expected. It is 6:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with PJ, get a look at our traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by BathFitter.com, the leader in bathroom innovation. With the BathFitter PermaFit solution, your new tub or shower is built to fit perfectly and guaranteed for life. Visit BathFitter.com. I-10 and 110 are both looking good. Davis Highway is clear from the I-10 overpass through Creighton. And the front gate of NAS Pensacola backed up to Sunset. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Another cold start to your day today with temperatures below freezing. As you head into your afternoon, we will see highs around 54 degrees, plenty of sunshine. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 36. Heading into Tuesday, partly cloudy skies, high near 61. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 52. Heading into Wednesday, 70% chance of some showers with a high near 64 and a low near 39. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 23 degrees right now. We've got clear skies this morning and a cold start to our day. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Princeton Grove, a new affordable housing community in Crestview, is now taking applications for one- and two-bedroom apartments. Princeton Grove features a resort-style swimming pool, pickleball court, dog park, state-of-the-art fitness center, Energy Star-rated appliances, granite countertops, and, for a limited time, Princeton Grove is offering one-bedroom apartments for $799 and two bedrooms at $1099 without any application fees. Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. Location, community, quality living. All starts at Princeton Grove.
Hear that?
That's Mike. He took ZzzQuil Pure Z's, so now he's sleeping soundly on a Sunday night. ZzzQuil Pure Z's are fast-acting melatonin gummies with a complimentary botanical blend to help Mike get the sleep he needs to wake up refreshed and ready to conquer Monday.
Let's do this, Monday.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's. Just for sleep. Really great sleep.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you.
On your phone, on your computer,
wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
What I'm getting at is there's some folks that want to be able to, because customarily they would be able to go, they go fishing there or something. They want to be able to fish. They want to be able to traverse the beach line there. Well, I put myself in the same shoes of these folks, and maybe you're not doing that. And I think to myself, if I bought property there and I thought that was my beach line, and this all started with Governor Huckabee, you know, I think in 2018, and then Governor Scott. People bought properties after that, and those people think they own the beach. So they've been paying a lot of money. They paid a lot of money, and they've been paying a lot of money in taxes. So
it was kind of funny. In the town hall with Steve Schroberger on Thursday, he asked the question, you know, y'all know what customary use, y'all care about that. And this one was like, what is it? Which is, I mean, it's a good note because people in the beach area in the Southwest near Perdido, they care a lot about that because for the beach owners, they care because they don't want people traipsing all over their backyard that they paid for. And for the beach users who do not own property on the beach, they, many of them, want to be able to access the beach that they have long thought it was theirs. At least some of it was theirs. And the idea that it could be blocked off was very frustrating to them. This is a long-standing kind of back and forth. In fact, there was a very interesting conversation about this that I don't think I had actually gotten a chance to play the back and forth about this from the prior board meeting. So we'll share some of that with you now just so you get a sense of it. Joseph Kleinpeter.
So as I said, we see this as primarily a matter of personal property ownership. We feel very strongly about this. I sent a letter to the commissioners a few days ago saying that we are disputing customary use. So we have filed this formal dispute letter based on the fact that we see this as something we should not be doing.
Remember, the state has passed a law that basically allows it to be declared in certain areas, and that still has to go through a little bit of conversation about whether that area is customary use. There are some, you know, beachfront areas that have clearly not been used customarily by the public, and they're private, and there are others that have been used, and then there's always the issue of, you know, you can always go up to the waterline. It's going farther than that. That's the question. Gary Holt was on the other side. Joseph Kleinpeter was on the con side, as in preserve private property. Gary Holt is on the allow the beaches to be used by the public side.
This is not a property rights issue. We're not taking anybody's property. It's just the right to go out there, put down a towel, and watch the sunset. As you know,
Okay. But that is a property rights issue because you can't just go, if somebody's got a nice hill on their yard, you can't just go watch the sunset from somebody's hill just because it isn't fenced off. You know, that's the whole issue, is whether somebody else can go onto the property against your desires.
Like I said, it's not a property rights issue. We're not taking anybody. It's not taking anybody's property. We're not telling them what to do with it. Well, you can't put fences on it. You can't put signs on it. You know, you can't build on it, obviously. But it's the white sand beaches that we've had customary use for the last over 100 years.
So, you know, nothing against Gary, but, I mean, he says it's not a property rights issue, and then he goes on to explain all of the uses of the property that the property owners are not going to be allowed to do, which makes it exactly a property rights issue. There are many ways you can affect property rights even without taking the property. And if you declare how it gets used, literally you can't put fences, you can't build structures, you can't put signs. I mean, that's a pretty hefty amount of restriction on people's use of the property they own. So it is absolutely a property rights issue. Now, you can say that property rights don't matter as much as, or property rights are overridden by, or, you know, customary use means that it cannot be treated as normal private property. Fine. I mean, but to say it's not a property rights issue is just false. This is Karen Woodward.
Changing this customary use land will also add additional financial burdens to us. We have tenants in our unit. We do have some short-term rentals. We get comments often about the privacy of the beaches and how people continue to return to our complex because of that privacy.
So you've got a couple of different issues from sort of the property owner's side. One is the cleanup and maintenance of things that the people who walk along might damage or, you know, leave trash. But you also have the investment side that they believe that it's a selling point of the beaches behind their rental properties that they're not open to the public, because a public beach is a very different experience from a private beach, and not just for the people who own the property, but for the people who might rent the property. And she thinks that it would be a loss to them financially if this were changed, which is, again, you know, kind of an understandable position. None of this tells you who's right or wrong, but it's important to understand what are the different views on all of this. Now, when it comes to particularly Steve Stroberger's view, he has said very clearly that he is against customary use.
What I don't like is I don't like it looking like a war zone down there with all the crime scene tape and stuff like that. And I don't know what started all this, but I know that, the commissioners that were down there before were both on opposite sides of this issue. And I believe in property rights. I believe in property rights as well as I believe in public access.
So, but of course, the problem is, what do you do when those two things come in tension with each other? So he says he's actually working on a way to solve this for everybody. And, you know, might seem impossible that it could be done, but he says he's been talking with a bunch of state agencies, including DEP and FWC and State Parks and Recreation and Florida Wildlife. I mean, just kind of talking to everybody and trying to come up with an answer. I'll tell you what his answer is here in just a second. We got PJ with Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks, Andrew. The front gate of NAS Pensacola is backed up to Gulf Beach Highway. Blue Angel Parkway approaching the base looks good. I'm PJ with your Traffic on the Fives.
So what does Steve Stroberger think he's got up his sleeve? Well, he says there's a whole bunch of available beach area that doesn't get used that could be more open to the public that people don't even realize. It's all of the state parkland.
And that's to be able to use the two state parks on Perito Key Drive, east and west. I don't know how much they're used, but every time I go by there, I don't see anybody there. It's only $3 to go there, but it's nobody goes. I mean, there was even discussion at a development, a business development meeting about whether it was open or not. It's open, but people don't know it's open, or they just don't want to go there. I don't know what it is. I don't know how much money they take in, but that's one of the things we have to work out. We have to figure out what it's going to cost. So that's what I want to do. I want every Escambia resident to be able to use those parks for free. Go there, use them. The county will pay either up front for everyone to go there and get have a placard to go to the park, or we're gonna supplement them because they got a few employees, and we'll have to pay for that. Whatever that deal is gonna look like, that's what I'd like to do.
So it wouldn't be that the Escambia County acquires the state parks, but that Escambia County for residents would acquire free access to the state parklands and those beaches. And maybe that would mean, you know, obviously there's some parking shortage issues. I'm not advocating for this. I'm just saying it's something that could be done, is if you made it possible to park on the road in those areas and walk over. Now you've got environmental concerns as well, but, you know, obviously there's all that no parking along there. That's one way long-term you could build parking lots. That's going to require permission from DEP and not having to impact and, you know, species and so forth. But You can kind of see this as an interesting solution, because it's beach area that's underutilized that could be made available to the public, maybe. And if Escambia County paid for that as opposed to buying land and creating very small beach accesses, maybe something like this would solve the problem for everybody, because it wouldn't infringe on the, you know, private ownership areas. You wouldn't have to address that problem because it would be adequate beach. Now, I'm sure some people no matter how much it's open, they're still going to want the other parts. But there's a lot of state park land, the east part and the west part. But yeah, parking is an issue.
We'll expand beach access because I don't think that we have a problem with necessarily the beach, the ability to get to the beach. It's the ability to park and go to the beach. So we do need some parking.
And he says, look, he compares it to where he lives on Inverarity Island.
An example for me is like where I live. You know, I live on Inverarity Island. And I don't know if there were Indians, you know, sending, you know, smoking a peace pipe or what they might have done in the past. But what was the custom there once upon a time?
Not sure about all that, but okay. I get what he's getting at.
There was a time when all those lots were open and John Inverarity, I guess, owned that thing. But who's to say that someone can't just come in my backyard and decide that I used to come here all the time when I was a kid and this is what we did, you know? So I liken that situation to what's going on at the beach. That's why I feel so strongly about this.
Yeah, and look, both sides have plausible arguments. You know, the owners bought the land thinking that they had control of the land. And whether they did or did not get their due diligence right, whether the rules shifted, which they did shift, what is the appropriate thing to do with beachfront property? Everywhere you go, everywhere there's waterfront property, there's going to be squabbling over it. Because that's what people want. Of course, it's ironic you go back in history and you look at something like Pensacola Beach, which was a place they had to basically encourage people to go develop because nobody wanted to live out there. And now, you know, there's longstanding history about all that. But you understand why once you own it, if you do own it, other people come and want to use it. And you think, wait a minute, that's not what I paid for. But the other people think, wait a minute, we've used this forever. And why do you suddenly get to own it and prohibit us from doing it?
This seems like a battle of the haves and the have-nots, and it shouldn't be. This shouldn't be. You know, there was a time in this country, and I'm going to bring this up on the dais, where you didn't get a vote unless you owned property. And this is the reason why, because they don't want the masses, they don't want the angry crowd, the mob, to be able to take your property away from you and say, no, I can, this is what we're doing, and I want you to vote for it. And I pay your salary and all that other crap that I hear about commissioners and didn't we hire them and isn't it their job to do what we tell them to do?
Not sure that making reference to the time when you had to own property to vote in this country as a basis for what you want to do with customary use is the best move, but because, you know, the history of that is, I'll just say, a little bit dubious. Although I do understand what he's getting at, and I sympathize strongly with him. The idea that people who do not have to pay for government expenses by paying taxes, or, you know, because historically landowners, right? It's arguable that those people should not have the same level of say in what the government does with the money that it does not collect from them, you know, especially when it is transferring from those who have to those who have not. In this case, it's not transferring funds, it's transferring use, which is, you know, a variation in value, right? Not money, but something else.
It's your job to advise me. And what I do is I make decisions based on the information I get from staff, the attorneys, and I get it from you too. And I make a decision based on that. It's the decision you would make if you knew what I knew. That's what I think. It's what, if I knew, you knew what I knew, you'd make the same decision. That's what I'm thinking. And I hope that you can live with that, because that's I've said it on the dais, that's a hill that I'll die on. I'll die on that hill.
You should say it's a beach he'll die on to be more appropriate for the topic. But I actually disagree with Steve about this. He says, if you had all the information that I have, then this is the decision that you would make, too. No, elections matter. And the people that we put in office don't necessarily come to the same conclusions with the same information. That's why we elect different people to sift and sort and have value priorities and so forth. Now, I mean, some people may come to different conclusions because they don't have full information. That's true. But I actually don't think it's accurate to say that if you had all of his information, you'd come to his conclusion. There are some people who are very informed and they favor customary use. There are some people who are very informed and they oppose customary use, even not the beach owners particularly, just like even not the people who care to go to use the beach. I mean, there's people on all sides. It matters who the person is. The information itself does not always dictate the outcome. And so even if you had all the information, you might still disagree with them. Because again, I think elections do matter. They don't always. I mean, sometimes it's true But there's a kind of premise about the world that if everybody simply had the same level of information, everybody would come to the same conclusion. It is true that when people do not have good information or they have misinformation, it often leads them to an error. But, you know, there are a lot of very smart, informed people who still vehemently disagree with other very smart, informed people. And so it's not true, I think, to say that just if you had the information, you'd come to the same conclusion. He also made some comments about sunshine and some other topics as well that I thought were pretty interesting. He basically doesn't like the idea of the sunshine law preventing legislators from basically wrestling with each other, you know, offline, arguing with each other, getting to understand each other's arguments. And I'm very sympathetic to that. You know, the feds don't have to live by it. The state legislators don't have to live by it entirely. Like when they're in session, there's all kinds of workarounds. It's only the locals that have to live by that. And I do think it's weird. It is the way we've had it for a long time. It's hard to say we should move away from it. And there is something kind of, I don't know, weirdly stunted about the conversations that you often hear in city council or county commission, because they're in real time encountering information and perspectives that they haven't had before because they can't talk to each other. And I'm sympathetic to his concern. He feels like that doesn't get the best outcome, the best debate. Not really, because you're kind of forced to argue there in real time. And some people might like to explore the ideas. Some people might have ego issues that they don't want to back down, or they don't want to pretend like they don't know something. I mean, you know, I see where he's coming from. And I have long had my concerns about the sunshine law because it's weird. He's right. It is definitely weird. I also think he's right that there is no political will to change it. There's no chance of getting that across the finish line. So, but it's an interesting conversation. I like interesting conversations. 654 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, dinner and an aria at Jackson's, Pensacon at the Fish House, Valentine's Day at the Great Southern, and so much more. Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Saturday morning, get your run on in the Double Bridge Run, one of the premier 15K races in the country, going across Pensacola Bay and Santa Rosa Sound. It gets underway at 7. See PensacolaSports.org. It's Mardi Gras fun in Navarre. Saturday beginning at 1 with the annual Crew of Jesters Navarre Mardi Gras Parade. The theme this year is the celebration of 250 years of American independence. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Groundhog Day! Oh, I forgot to mention. Sorry about this. I had meant to and then just slipped my mind right when we got to the end of that segment. If you're interested in the beach issue customary use, this Thursday, Committee of the Whole, Escambia County is going to have a big old conversation about it, starting at, 9 a.m., I believe, is when the cow is set to go. So, it should be the – is that right? You know what? Now that I'm looking at something else, I thought I had just looked this up a second ago. Let me double check while PJ is doing traffic on the fives. PJ?
The front gate of Ennis Pensacola is backed up to Gulf Beach Highway. Brancas Avenue is flowing smooth. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much, PJ. Hold on. I'm finding where I had it before. I swear I had it pulled up. Committee of the Whole, February 5th, 9 a.m. Yes, customary use. So there you go. It's going to have a big old conversation about that this Thursday if you want to attend that meeting. 9 a.m. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. A 5-year-old boy and his father have been released from ICE custody after a court order. Liam Conejo Ramos and his father had been detained earlier this month in Minnesota. A federal judge ordered their release on Saturday. They were freed on Sunday. FedEx services across the U.S. are seeing impacts from all this winter weather. A national service disruption alert was issued, and deliveries people were supposed to get over the weekend have been delayed. FedEx does say weather-related delays are not eligible for refunds under their delivery guarantee policy. And if you missed it, Punxsutawney Phil made his prediction here in the last half hour. 6 more weeks of winter, but we are going to be keeping an eye on Kenya. The giraffe at the Gulf Breeze Zoo. She makes her forecast at noon today.
They changed the time. Is noon in the new time or the old time?
Noon is, I believe, it's the latest time I saw.
Okay,
when I
fair enough. Fair enough. Gotcha. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:59 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Somebody texted me in and said, Steve Stroberger saying it's crap to think that he has to do what they want because, you know, we pay his salaries. That's not crap. We do pay their salaries and they do have to answer to us. And my answer was, oh, no. He understands that. He's just saying, just because you pay his salary doesn't mean that he's going to do what any one of you wants him to do. And even if a lot of you want him to do it, there are still rules he must honor. There's still his own personal judgment. And, you know, part of what he was getting at with the information is it is true that sometimes you get more information and suddenly you see, oh, that's why the president did that, because you weren't privy to the, the confidential briefs, so to speak. But, you know, yes. Doing what you want is not the same as being answerable to you. They're always answerable to you, right?
You're listening to